B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
So we'll start with this. Laguna Beach officials are investigating how a person accessing a Zoom video conference city council meeting was able to hack a live sex act into the meeting. You've been seeing several stories about this, and this one is no different, but it's interesting. The incident,
Mr. Schilling, I just have to say this is the best conference you've ever run.
The incident occurred during the March 31st meeting as city manager John Pietig began detailing coronavirus-related closures of beaches, parks, and trailheads planned for the month of April. The meeting was the city's first virtual meeting since the coronavirus quarantine was issued. First to appear were pornographic sketches coupled with profane words written on a whiteboard feature that allows users to annotate on a shared screen.
Wow.
Mayor Bob Whelan immediately asked Gavin Curran, the city's director of administrative services, who was hosting the meeting, to disconnect. He said, can you put a stop to that? Can you turn off the screen, Gavin?
And he says, what is that going on there?
It appears someone is posting inappropriate message. It's very disappointing someone would do something like that. Well, about 5 minutes later, when everyone except for City Councilman Peter Blake and City Clerk Lizette Shell Walker, who were physically present in the council chambers, were dialed in, the meeting continued only to be interrupted again 5 minutes later by a live sex scene. Curran immediately disconnected the Zoom call.
Am I the only one who's getting horny?
Which at the time had 51 people participating by conference, including city council members, the city manager, the city attorney, and other Laguna Beach city staff. The remaining people online were members of the public who had been given instructions on how to join the meeting. That information was publicly posted in advance of the meeting on the city's website. After the second disruption, the meeting continued via another system. And, of course, there have been several stories of incidents such as that.
Just out of curiosity, do you guys hear that coming out
of
my house?
Yeah.
Okay. That's my cat knocking down the damn door. He will not leave me alone.
Oh, he's trying to get in?
He's knocking at the door.
Let him in. You can let him in. We could stand to see some cat butt this morning.
Okay.
All right. An ex-receptionist says a New Jersey dental office is a hotbed of drug and alcohol use where her boss took hard liquor shots out of dental cups and threw a booklet at her for blowing the whistle.
Come on, man!
Nadia Zavallo says that she was driven out of the American Dental Center in Union after complaining about the rampant party culture promoted by her supervisor, Lily Almeida. The 39-year-old Bellevue, New Jersey woman says that she saw Almeida drink hard liquor out of dental cups, eat marijuana jello shots and pop brownies while on the job. Almeida also allegedly pushed those edibles and drinks on other employees who partook in the partying, including a dental assistant who handled patients.
She's like Jennifer Aniston in Horrible Bosses.
Yes. Zavallos was also offered the drugs and alcohol, but passed. Almeida was able to get away with the alleged inappropriate behavior because of her, quote, flirtatious and possible romantic relationship with the dentist, David Paltak, the suit alleges.
It's just like it.
Almeida retaliated when Zavallos complained to the office manager, Kathleen Peters, by screaming at her in front of patients and staff and throwing an accounting booklet at her. Almeida then slammed the booklet on Zavallos' desk, violently shook her chair, and assigned her to extra work that week.
Come on, let's do dental implants while stoned.
Almeida also gave Zavallos shifts that she knew that it would be hard for her to make. In a meeting the pair had with Paltak, the dentist, Peters is the dentist, said that there can be an empty bottle of whiskey in my garbage can, but if there's no video of me drinking it, no one can prove that the whiskey bottle is mine.
Well, someone's already worked on their defense.
During the meeting, Peters told Zavallos that they don't fire people, but, quote, we just make sure that your life is miserable so you leave on your own.
Wow, it's a really tough situation there in the dental world.
So Zavallos quit that day. 2 days earlier, 2 days later, another employee called Zavallos saying, everyone in the office is upset at you. That same person told Zavallos that another coworker will, quote, find you and kick your ass.
Well, they were having a party and she put a stop to it.
Wow, yeah, exactly. So, all right, Shenzhen has become the first Chinese city to ban the sale and consumption of dog and cat meat.
Well, there you go.
It comes after the coronavirus outbreak was linked to wildlife meat, prompting Chinese authorities to ban the trade and consumption of wild animals. Shenzhen went a step further, extending the ban to dogs and cats. The new law will come into force on May 1st. 30 million dogs a year are killed across Asia for meat. However, the practice of eating dog meat in China is not that common. The majority of Chinese people have never done so and say that they don't want to. According to a statement, dogs and cats as pets have established a much closer relationship with humans and of all other animals, and banning the consumption of dogs and cats and other pets is a common practice in developed countries and in Hong Kong and Taiwan. So they're putting an end to it. In India, a couple has named their newborn twins Corona and COVID.
Oh, that's perfect.
The two words may evoke fear and devastation in the minds of others, but for the Raipur-based couple, they symbolize triumph over hardships as the twins, a boy and a girl, were born during the ongoing coronavirus.
And this is Ebola and the Black Death.
The names they said...
Where's leprosy?
...would remind them about all of the hardships they conquered amid the lockdown... ahead of successful delivery on the intervening night of March 26th through the 27th at a government hospital. However, the couple said that they may change their decision later and rename their kids at some point.
Once they stop drinking, yeah.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File podcast.
An alleged bank robber who became known as the Bad Wig Bandit has been caught by the FBI in Georgia after evading authorities in North Carolina. Patrick Alexander, 30 years old, is suspected of robbing four banks in the Charlotte area in December and January while wearing an ill-fitting women's wig. I mean, like, he wore different ones, I believe, each time, but they looked really stupid. He was arrested on Monday, the Bad Wig Bandit, after attempting to enter Fort Benning, Georgia, in Georgia. He has been charged.
Like one of the B-52s.
He has been charged with one count of robbery, but further charges are anticipated as the investigation continues.
Why women's wigs?
I don't know. Maybe he
thought he'd become a. They think it was a woman.
I guess so. Yeah.
Oh, this looks horrible.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
All four of them are completely different. Wow. Many people are being forced to skip hair appointments. You know, we'll stick with the hair thing here amid the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. And some people have been trying to cut their hair themselves. I love this. Five-year-old George Moore decided to ask his older brother for help cutting his hair. His brother stole his dad's clippers, and George asked him to cut a big bald spot on the top of his head. Their dad, Kevin, only realized what was happening when the boys couldn't stop giggling. And when Kevin walked in, George explained he wanted the, quote, old man haircut since he saw it on You've Been Framed, which is a British TV show. So, Casey, he gave him the Dr. Phil as this kid. Kevin helped out by smoothing out the lines of the cut to complete the look. So
I love that.
He went for that male pattern baldness cut. Yep. A Brooklyn man claiming to be, and here's another one of these, claiming to be infected with the coronavirus, coughed on FBI agents who were investigating him for hoarding medical supplies. Listen to what all this guy had, by
the
way.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Barack Feldheim is his name. He's facing charges of assault, making false statements to the feds outside of his home, where he was allegedly peddling and storing massive amounts of N95 respirator masks. Feldheim is also accused of price gouging. He's suspected of selling a New Jersey doctor about 1,000 of the masks for $12,000, a markup
Christ.
Of roughly 700%. The accused fraudster also directed another doctor to an Irvington, New Jersey auto repair shop to pick up another order. There, the doctor reported to investigators that Feldheim was allegedly hoarding enough medical supplies to, quote, outfit an entire hospital. 2 days later, the suspected hoarder received a gigantic shipment at his home of about 8 pallets of face masks.
Where's he getting all of them from?
I guess he's legit. He had legitimately ordered them, and then he sells them for, he marks them way up. FBI agents in
place in hell
staked out his house, first noticing empty boxes of N95 masks outside on Sunday. They said they witnessed multiple instances of people approaching his residence, walking away with what appeared to be medical supplies. The agents confronted Feldheim outside his house, keeping a distance over coronavirus fears. When the agents were within 4 to 5 feet of him, he allegedly coughed in their direction without covering his mouth. And at that point, he told the FBI agents that he had coronavirus. Of course, he, you know, I'm sure he doesn't.
Yeah, more than likely not.
Feldman then allegedly lied to FBI agents regarding his possession and sale of medical supplies. He falsely told the agents that he worked for a company that bought and sold PPE and that he never took physical custody of the materials. Following his arrest, the FBI on Monday raided a warehouse that housed his suspected stash of 80,000 masks, by the way. So this guy's been busted. All restaurants in Indiana have their dining rooms closed, which has led to Jake Burgess taking extreme measures to keep his employees paid. He owns several restaurants around the state and one food truck and has chosen to close them all. In an attempt to raise money for his workers, he took to Instagram where customers viewing his live stream were asked to purchase gift cards and making donations to workers through Venmo. He promised that if he got 1,000 or more views, that he would transform himself into Joe Exotic from Tiger King. So he reportedly got 3,400 views. So he got a blonde handlebar mustache and apparently had his hair cut into a mullet, is from what I understand. So the look was a complete, when it was complete, he remarked, oh, my God, give me a tiger and I'm going to run for governor. let's see here. Oh, this is a little scary. An 11-year-old and a 5-year-old went to the hospital on Friday after eating THC-infused Nerds candy.
Oh, my God.
That they got from a Utah food bank. It was a distribution center. The children's families picked up their bag of food from Roy Baptist Church. Police said that in a news release, they know 63 bags of food contaminating the medicated Nerds rope candy were distributed. An 11-year-old girl was the first to receive treatment. Later, a 5-year-old was hospitalized. Three other children ate the candy. The ropes contained 400 milligrams of THC. They were in the original packaging, which included a THC warning label and dosage information. Once those handing out the bags learned the THC candy was inside, they were removed from remaining bags. Police are asking anyone who got a bag of the candies to contact
them. How are they in sealed bags?
No, I guess they're not sealed bags. I think they put them
together. Oh, okay. All right. So, I got you. Yeah.
All right. And then one last story, and then we will wrap this up. Let's end with this one. Within weeks, the EU's European Food Safety Authority is expected by the insect industry to endorse whole or ground mealworms, lesser mealworms, locust, crickets, and grasshoppers as being safe for human consumption.
Oh, yay!
The ruling is likely to lead to the final authorization of their sale across the EU as a novel food by as soon as the autumn, opening up opportunities for mass production of a range of insect dishes to be sold across Europe for the first time.
Can't wait. Not going to do it.
So they can make things like mealworm flour and stuff like that. And so they're starting to look more seriously at this.
I'll have a turd kebab before I have that.
They are sources of protein. So
there's a school of thought that suggests that those types of things like crickets and locusts and mealworms and whatever are going to be our main source of protein within 100 years or so. I've heard that. Yeah.
It's possible. Things like that, you know, over time as you get used to the idea.
I disagree because I just discovered the very thin Oreos, Preston.
Oh, my God.
Have you tried those?
No.
Oh, so they're like...
I love the idea.
It's just a very thin amount of cream.
A waffle thin?
It's almost like, like one of those After Eight mints. Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's the two cookies with just a very tiny bit of cream. It turns out that's the double stuff, I used to think. No. You go the other way. Yeah. And this is what you want.
You know what? Yeah, I would like that. Nice. All right, and there you go. That's what I got in the B-File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.